We present The Prison by Norman Smythe. The Prison.
You'll strain your eyes.
What?
Your eyes, you'll strain them. It's light.
I finished the book anyway.
Will I put the light on?
I'd rather like this light. But if you want to.
Well, we can see better. Look. Surprise. A surprise for you. It's in the way of a celebration. This is an occasion, an anniversary. 10 years.
10 years?
To the day, 10 years. For both of us. I thought a little celebration would be in order, a special dinner.
Oh, it's very kind of you. Very thoughtful.
Oh, thank you. Will you take the chair?
I'll be all right here. Please sit down.
Roast beef. These cuts are overdone, these underdone. Green cabbage, red cabbage, potatoes boiled. Here, horseradish, black pepper and a coarse salt. And gravy. Will I serve you?
Thank you.
It's not a feast. Not a feast by any means. I'm sure that in the old days you must have had much... Oh, I'm a fool. Will you excuse me?
Of course.
They wouldn't fit on a tray. I left them outside. Tokay. 20 years old.
Mm, excellent. Yes. First glass.
Delicious. I love wine. No fat on the meat.
So I see.
I cut it all off. I notice you always leave the fat.
Don't you eat fat either?
Well, I do, but...
Oh, well, you should have left some fat on for yourself.
No, I made this meal for you. Look, you've hardly started. I'll make it a pig of myself. I'll wait for you.
No, please, carry on, enjoy it. You enjoy your food. That's a good sign.
Not anymore. No, I'm enjoying this market, but this is different. This is an occasion in company. Like the old days when with a friend or two we'd scrape up enough to go and have a meal in a cafe. They were jolly times.
You were in good company. Now, it was part of my duty to attend functions almost every day. Dinners, suppers, banquets.
Sometimes we wouldn't have enough to pay the bill. In a moment of excitement, one of us had ordered an extra bottle of wine. We would empty our pockets onto the table. The waitress would be laughing too. She knew we would settle up next time.
I wish I could say I had as much pleasure. But as course after course was served, all I would be thinking of would be my speech. Would I be praising somebody at the expense of another? Whom would I offend? Yeah. I would feel eyes on me. I would look up, and the eyes would look quickly away. The man would smile, turn to a neighbour, and start talking. But it was not your kind of talk at our tables, not by any means. Little of it was careless or carefree.
My appetite's gone now. I've taken too much again. After a few mouthfuls, I can hear myself swallowing. That's all I can hear. I hope you like raisin pudding.
Yes, I think so. Thank you.
With custard? Enough?
Yeah, it's plenty.
What is more?
No, that's quite enough. Thank you.
I made the pudding myself.
Oh, yes, it's very good. Very good indeed. Rich, but not too rich.
The warden has it every Wednesday and Sunday. Twice a week. I make it for him, although he doesn't know.
It's a long time since I had custard. I thought I would have forgotten the taste. You were saying you made it for the warden?
Well, I call him the governor. Well, not to his face, of course. Not that I ever speak to him now. He hasn't spoken to me for almost 2 years, since the Christmas before last. You read a lot?
I read a great deal as a student, and then later, in political life, I never seemed to find the time.
Yeah, I wish I could read.
Well, you can borrow any of these books, any you wish.
Oh, please. Well, I have books, a few. I read a few pages. It might be a detective story, a mystery, you know, or a romantic novel. I read quickly at first. I'm interested. I say to myself, this time it will be different. I will finish this book. I'll know this time how it comes out. And then I lay the book down to go about my duties, or I look up to think about a passage I've just read, and I see the bars on my window. Then I look at the stone walls of my room. I start to count them. Can't go back to my book. I can't concentrate.
I find the reverse is true for me.
Perhaps if you recommended a book. Oh, nothing too heavy, mind you. But something you find particularly interesting yourself. Perhaps we could discuss it.
Oh, perhaps we could. I'd be very pleased. Have the rules been changed, or do you have the warden's permission for tonight only?
I didn't ask him. Oh. I told you, not a word passes between us. It was my decision to speak to you tonight, to break the silence.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I've longed for the sound of a voice other than my own.
I understand. I don't know about you, but I'm particularly talkative. My friends used to call me a regular windbag. Talk the rain out of the sky, they'd say. I was always talking in those days. Don't ask me now about what I've forgotten. Anything at all. Does that sound odd to you?
No, not at all.
Someone would make a remark, say, about the weather, and someone else would come up with something about football, and before you knew it, we'd all be shouting at each other and laughing and contradicting each other, and I'd be in the thick of it. And we'd find ourselves arguing fiercely about something else altogether, like indigestion. Pardon me. Medical matters, say. Do you follow me?
Oh, yes, yes. I remember how the conversation would take sudden jumps, turn from one topic to another, even at meetings where we had a strictly tight agenda.
The talk would go from here to there as if it was blown about by the winds. I have 3 pine trees outside my window.
There's an elm tree there.
Do you mind if I use that chair to look out?
No, not at all.
Yes, it's an elm, all right. Broke off a branch last year, or the year before, maybe.
3 years ago.
It started to rot. Not many leaves left. Less than a dozen.
17.
15.
No.
Ah, definitely. No more than 15.
Oh, no, there were 17 before I started to read. Part of me dies when the leaves fall from a tree. Soon it will be bare. No birds will come.
It's the wind, I'd say. You're more exposed on this side. I can hear it. Listen. Governor has a rose garden in front of his quarters. Lots of rose bushes all set out in neat rows and each one's labelled. He used to work in that garden 2 hours every morning, clearing it of weeds.
I never thought I'd miss flowers. I never thought of them. They were always there. I'd give a month of my life now to see a daisy grow.
Garden's all deserted now, overgrown. Weeds are everywhere. After the warden stopped going out into the garden, he used to look at it from the window in his room. Then he drew the curtain so you couldn't see it at all. He has heavy curtains to hide the bars.
How could a man shut out the sight of a rose garden?
Now, for the best part of our feast. Look. Cigars. Do you smoke?
Oh, I used to. Too much, I'm afraid. I feel better now that I've given it up.
Well, the governor buys only the best.
Oh, thank you. He gave them to you?
Oh, not him. I took them one day when I was removing his tray.
Ah.
Even then I was planning this dinner. Must have been 3 months ago. He did give me a cigar once. That Christmas night I'd gone in to give my report on my patrol. I used to do it verbally in those days. I used to look forward to that every evening. I took pride in that I never made a mistake. Never forgot to salute, never took more than 12 paces to reach his desk.
You make patrols, then?
Well, 3 times a day. That's what regulations call for. Of course, when there were other guards here, I'd only make 2 a day, but I don't mind.
Are you the only guard left?
They say that at one time there were 70 guards here and 300 prisoners. But in my second year, they were all transferred to the new jail on the other side of town. I still do my patrols. Regulations. Orders have to be carried out.
I understand. Was it at Christmas the trouble between you and the warden started?
Oh, yes, I was in the middle of telling you.
Yeah,
it was Christmas night. I reported as usual, but instead of dismissing me at the end, he invited me to have a drink. There was a bottle of brandy on his desk, half empty. Well, I didn't like to refuse. He told me about his early life in the service, how he had hopes for a high administrative position. He called me by my first name. Kept pouring me more drinks, and I was a first-class fella. When the bottle was empty, he broke it across the bars of the window. I put him to bed. Next day, he called me in, told me never again to bring his tray into the room, but to leave it outside the door. We haven't exchanged a word since. In fact, I've never even laid eyes on him since that night. I write all my reports and slip it under his door.
It must be very lonely for you here. Why don't you ask for a transfer to the new jail?
Well, it wouldn't give me one, I know. Besides, I couldn't leave you.
But at least you do get some diversion when you go outside, into town. You have time off.
A day and a half a week is what I'm entitled to under the regulations. I haven't taken them over 2 years. I don't enjoy it anymore. I used to go into a bar, have a few beers and talk to the men there. A couple of fellas on the road used to drop in. One would play the fiddle and the other had a concertina. They'd play so you'd think spring was bursting to come in through the windows.
I used to attend symphony concerts and most of the time I was bored. But I would love to hear a fiddle now or a concertina. What happened to the musicians? Did they move on?
They would have stayed all night, but people were always telling them to hush. They were discussing sport or politics or the latest happening in the newspapers. I didn't read the papers. I don't watch television and my radio broke 7 years ago.
You don't read newspapers? Not at all?
Well, I used to get them after the governor had finished with them. He read every word I could tell. He did the crossword puzzle too. Of course, this is years and years ago. Then, when I'd collect the paper, I'd notice it had never been opened. I could tell. Then he stopped buying them altogether. I didn't miss them because by that time I'd stopped reading them as well.
When I first came here, I thought my greatest punishment was to be deprived of the newspapers. That was the one thing that irked me. But why on earth have you stopped reading them?
Well, they tell of aeroplanes falling out of foreign skies, assassinations in dark jungles, generals I've never heard of being deposed by other generals whose names I can't pronounce, riots in streets where I've never set foot. What's that got to do with us here? There's never anything about us in the news. Is there now?
I suppose not. But tell me, do you never want to be part of that outside world again?
Of course. I want to be free.
Why don't you leave the service?
If there is a prisoner, there must be a guard. Stands to reason.
But not necessarily you. It could be somebody else.
But I'm here, not someone else. I am your guard, you are my prisoner. Can't get away from that.
True. But there was another man who brought me my meals once a week, a rough, older-looking fellow with straggly blonde hair.
Well, that would be Andy. Ah. He's the cook. He brought you your meals on my days off. A Pole, he's a deaf mute.
So you have no one to talk to at all?
Only you, and the rules forbid it. It's a lonely life. Past few years have made a change in me, I can tell. Have you noticed?
I can't say I have. Noticed what?
Well, for instance, I'm walking differently. All my movements are getting slower. Well, I used to walk, I wouldn't say jauntily, but briskly, smartly. I always used to say to myself when I did my patrols, if the Inspector General could only see me, he'd be proud. But now, well, you must notice yourself.
I told you, you must remember, I only see you when you bring in the trays or remove them.
If you look through the grill this way, you can see down the passage. You could see me coming up the stairs. Then when I passed, you could watch me walk down the passage. There, that's where I stop and check the firefighting equipment. 3 times a day I patrol that passage.
I hear you.
But you don't get up to look.
No, I didn't think, yes. I'm sorry.
Still, now I've spoken to you, it'll make a difference. Down this passage anyway, I'll patrol smartly again now, I know. Well, you have a lot of interesting books there. Oh, I've read the one about Lamartinus in the prison library.
Yes. There's several there about prisons and prisoners.
You read the one about this place? Isolated in stone?
I didn't know there was...
Oh, yes, I can get it for you. The warden has it. A lot of important people, like yourself, have stayed here over the ages. Over 100 years ago, it was a military prison. And there's been escapes. Many escapes.
I should like to read it very much. I've just finished a book by Loeb. He spent 37 years in American jails. An intellectual man. I found it absorbing.
Did he ever try to escape?
No. Never.
The day your party came into power, the governor opened a bottle of champagne. At my evening report, he told me we'd be losing our prisoners, they'd be closing this place down for good. He put on his full dress uniform and prepared a speech. I used to hear him rehearsing it. After 10 days, he put the uniform back into mothballs.
That was 6 years ago. How time flies.
I could never understand it myself. I'm sure the governor couldn't either, and he's a university man like yourself. Between you and me, I believe he was looking forward to more promotion. Perhaps a government decoration.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As I say, I couldn't understand it. Your own friends in power, your enemies scattered, some into exile. And your right-hand man made president.
He'll make a good president.
The paper said he was your best friend. Until they stopped mentioning your name at all.
Understandable. That's party politics. A radical in opposition is a credit to his party, a rallying point. A radical in power is more than an embarrassment. He's a danger.
Still, friends are friends.
Friendship is sharing. Power is never shared. Not willingly. It is conceded.
I must get you that book. Somebody escapes from this prison. They've passed it a legend. I was told of them when I first entered the service. Do you know that 40 years ago a general made his escape from this very cell?
Indeed.
Indeed, yes. He unwound wire from the springs of his bed, straightened it out and made oak at one end. And then he slipped it through here and withdrew the bolt and lifted up the bar. Now that left only one more item to be tackled before the door could be opened. What was it?
I'm sure I don't know.
It's the lock. He was an artillery officer, an engineer. A lock like this would be child's play to him.
I'm sure you're right. I could never understand locks myself. I used to have trouble unlocking my own front door. The key always seemed to stick.
Well, you could learn. Think of it as a challenge. Then, of course, he had to have a map to find his way out of the prison. It's a regular maze. The book has a map in the index. I'll definitely get it for you tomorrow.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not keeping you up, am I? I'm from your book.
Well, far from it. I'm enjoying myself. You're being very kind.
Oh, please, don't say that. You've no idea what this little chap means to me. Well, I know it's against regulations. I'm sorry about that, but there are certain things I must say to you.
Mm-hmm. If I can help you in any way.
This book. You'll notice when you read it that never at any time were any of the guards implicated in a prisoner's escape. Never. The service is proud of that record, and I'm proud of it. It's a record that must not be broken. You understand?
I understand matters of principle. I speak as a man, not as a politician.
You would come across the book sooner or later yourself. It's in the warden's library. You were told you had access to it.
The warden told me at our first and only meeting. But I have books of my own sent in.
But if you read them too quickly, faster than they came in, you would have to visit his library. It's possible?
Yes, indeed, quite possible.
And you would no doubt have picked up the book we're talking about. The title would have appealed to you.
It would have been the first book I would have chosen. I've no doubt about that at all.
There. So my mentioning the book at all was a natural thing to do in the way of conversation.
Perfectly natural.
And the subject of escapes. They say that it's the duty, positive duty, of all military personnel to escape. It's expected of them, their duty, just as mine is to prevent it. Now, I know you're not a soldier.
I have no wish to escape. None at all.
You don't want to leave here. You're prepared to stay here the rest of your life.
Yes. I think I am prepared now.
I don't believe it.
One escapes to somewhere, something, as well as from. In here over the past few years, I've discovered myself. I've found peace. I've no wish to escape from it.
But your family...
Mine was an arranged marriage, an alliance between money and political opportunity. I believe my wife has found a simpler kind of happiness. I hope so, for she deserves it. My only son is abroad, where no one has heard of his father.
But life is... There's more to life than just your family.
So I have learned.
Well, I mean, there's things to do, places to see. Wouldn't you like to sit at a table in a cafe and watch the people pass?
But the time has come when the bill is paid and one leaves and becomes part of the crowd that is passing other tables. Hurrying to keep an appointment that will secure more power for ourselves at the expense of others.
But that's politics. I wasn't.
But that was my life.
You could change.
I have. I am becoming a writer. And for that, this world is wide enough.
I can't understand it.
I'm sorry.
Just to walk along the high street on a sunny afternoon. Hands in pockets, nowhere special to go. But whichever you do, the choice is yours. That's freedom.
Freedom comes from within. From the absence of conflict between what is expected of you by others and what you should do to fulfill yourself.
Not for me. There'll always be things that I must do, no matter what. Just as long as I can do some of the things I want.
Yes. Each of us must find his own freedom in his own way. And it's not for me to impose my ideas.
But you're an educated man. The world shouldn't be half wide enough for a man like you.
And if you'll forgive me, you're seeing that old world of mine through your eyes, not through mine. I have no doubt that to you it seems attractive enough.
No. I was thinking of you. What a waste for you to be shut up in here. You know how to compliment a chef after a 10-course meal. And if you went on a journey by plane or by boat when you arrived at your destination, perhaps a trading post in the tropics with palm trees, you could go up to the captain and thank him for a pleasant trip. They'd be pleased.
You'd like to travel?
I don't expect I ever will. I would like to think it's possible. Just the thought it might come, that I'd be free to go if the chance ever came my way. Well, then I would take pleasure in just thinking about it.
I see. We're back again to your idea of freedom, the freedom of possibilities.
Try to see it my way. Look around you. Think of all the roads you've travelled, all the streets you've walked, and all the corners you've turned, and where have they led you to?
To myself. So, you want your freedom.
It's a lot to ask, I know. The warden's not such a bad man. Perhaps a new appointment. What's the good of being in command of only one man?
I see. The warden, too.
And Andy should have a full compliment to cook for. After all, he's a professional cook. That's his life.
You want me to release you? All of you.
I didn't know when I first spoke to you you'd be like this. I thought you would have wanted your freedom.
I have it. For the first time in my life.
I'm sorry I asked. I didn't know.
Sit down, please. I should have said, I thought I had it. Now I know that I haven't. Not if my freedom curtails yours. Yes. I must make a decision.
Shall I get you the book?
No, that's no solution.
Yeah, but...
It's impossible. I'd never get out of the country. Besides, I refuse to be hunted down like a winded stag. There's only one way.
Well, I had hoped to escape you. Voluntary act is a sin.
Is it any less a sin letting somebody else do it when a word, a gesture would save you?
Are you prepared to make such a sacrifice?
A sacrifice, yes. To set you free. Partly free, at any rate. And you say that's all you want.
It's all I ever expected. Do you need anything?
No. When I came here, I came prepared. I believe it's painless.
Look, the moon's risen. I wish I'd known you before. There's so many things I could have learned from you.
Perhaps. But you have taught me the ultimate lesson. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
A decent man. He shall have what he calls freedom. Why can't people realize that freedom must be taken, must be grasped, must be fought for? It can really be given. No. Where is it? At one end, the shaving brush that is needed while life pushes the hair through the skin. And at the other... No, that's stiff. I can hardly unscrew it. At the other end, a cavity and a pill. Half the size of my fingernail that will stop the growth of everything that I call me. Oh, God. I never asked how long it would take. At that time, all I wanted to know was whether it was painful or not. Now, to read a little more of this book. This book that I shall never finish.
In The Prison by Norman Smythe, the prisoner was played by Geoffrey Matthews, the guard by John Hollis. The play was produced by Kay Patrick.